Yes.
Are you referring to the recent Josiah Thompson article in Post? All right. Let me answer that question first. The Professor Thompson's article, I think, is a very scholarly presentation of what the major critics, Maggie Field of Los Angeles, and Mark Twain and Harold Weisberg have contended for some years. I think it was a very effective presentation, and I think that the major points are, without any question, true. I think possibly you could argue about details, like his conclusion about both 399, but I think it is a serious contribution, particularly because of the careful way that he has shown that not many alternatives remain, but to assume that there were at least three shooting positions. Now, with regard to Life magazine, which articles are you talking about? The articles that say I'm tied in with the mafia? Or is there something? I stopped reading Life about that time. I haven't read it since.
There was, I think, last week,
photographs of the
people
who had taken Life magazine rendered a serious service to this country a year ago in its anniversary issue when it had an article entitled Matter of Reasonable Doubt. And it helped lead the way in re-examining the assassination of John Kennedy. I don't want to rashly criticize Life because God knows what kind of pressures are coming from the White House now. The management of Life magazine. I'm sure it's nothing less than that. I think in the long run that the editors of Life are concerned about the truth, like the editors of other magazines. But the only thing I can say about the last article, which is really nothing but a bland presentation of pictures, is that right now, for reasons which I don't understand, Life is not in the battle. But I hope that we see them there again, because God knows we sure need them. Any other questions?
Right here.
Are you saying, how do I conclude that Oswald did not shoot the president? All right. Well, first of all, there is no evidence that he did. Normally, when you are going to charge someone with a crime, you are required to present evidence that he did do it, and the defense does not have to present evidence that he did not. Nevertheless, I will ask this as his defense counsel, and give you a few examples of evidence indicating he did not. The examination of the rifle for fingerprints did not produce fingerprints of Lee Harvey Oswald. The indications that the fingerprints of Oswald were obtained and announced by some individuals in Dallas right after the assassination were untrue. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, which is the only sound fingerprint, which is a soundless, rather, laboratory in the country, found no fingerprints of Lee Oswald that it could identify on the gun, on the rifle. Secondly, Oswald was given the nitrate test, which is a very effective test. If you fire a rifle, it leaves traces of nitrate on your cheek. If you fire with it on your right side, your right cheek will have traces of nitrate. If you fire on your left side will have traces of nitrate. Oswald was exonerated by the nitrate test, which indicated that he did not fire a rifle. I might say that the evidence exonerating Oswald is so complete that had he lived, it could not have had a trial. They would not have dared to come to trial. He had to be executed. And then you had to have fraudulent commission like the Warren Commission to make it appear that he did these things when he wasn't even in the scene. A third, the rifle, man like a cartel, was not even tested to see if it had been fired that day. With very good reason, since it apparently had not been fired that day. Fourth, Oswald was not a very good shot, and there is no acceptable evidence that he had ever shot a rifle since he left the Marines. The last time he shot in the Marines, he just barely qualified as marksman, and there's no indication that he shot since. Fifth, the telescopic sight on his Mannlicher Carcano had never been in his, they say it was his, had never been adjusted since the shipment. And before they test fired it, they foresighted it and aligned it because you could not fire it. The sight was out of line with the tube of the gun. Furthermore, it was a physical impossibility for Oswald to get downstairs in that short of time, especially if he had to wipe off the fingerprints and hide the gun under the boxes, go from the 6th to the 5th, 5th to the 4th, 4th to the 3rd, 3rd to the 2nd, in the same time that Roy Truly and Marion Baker went from the 1st to the 2nd. Furthermore, during the time that he was supposed to come down, and if he had been able to do that, he would have been the decathlon champion of all time. If he had been able to do that, but he couldn't possibly. Now, incidentally, one interesting thing is, in conducting their test to see if he could do it, this is typical of the type of tactics the fellow government used. They found, in Marion Baker's testimony, he's the officer who saw him on the second floor drinking a Coke, they found that if the man ran fast enough, I think they got somebody from some track star from recent track events and had him running down the steps, they found that they could get him down there at maximum speed to reach the Coke machine, but could not get the Coke out of the Coke machine. Honest, this is true. So what they did was they brought back Marion Baker and had him re-examine his written statement. And now if you look at it in the exhibits in the Warren Commission, you will see where he is scratched out and was drinking a Coke. That's scratched out. That's what is known as rewriting history to make it confirm to the official fairy tale. To get to another part of the forest, Tippett was shot. Well, I might add one more thing. As a matter of fact, at the time of the shooting, you'll see this in the November 22nd issue of the Dallas Times Herald. One of the men who ran the book depository went inside immediately after the assassination and happened to see Lee Oswald on the first floor. This is before he went up to get a coat. Saw him on the first floor. Well, this isn't too useful to the lone assassin theory, so this was never mentioned again. In other words, he was never higher than the second and was apparently on the first floor at the time of the assassination. Physical impossibility from many points of view. Tippett shooting, and furthermore, the only witness they were able to find, and the hundreds of people there, Mr. Brennan, who was finally willing to say that he saw Oswald at the window, initially insisted it was not Oswald. But he finally agreed it was, and they had their witness. But that's all they could get out of hundreds of people. On the other hand, more than one person saw several individuals up there on the sixth floor. So any serious examination of the Dealey Plaza picture eliminates Oswald as a possibility of any kind. The same is true with regard to Officer Tippett. Officer Tippett was killed by two men who alighted from a car. When they left, one went left in the car and the other left running. Both of them were black-headed. Neither one looked the slightest bit like Lee Oswald. As a matter of fact, they found a mixture of shells on the ground. Afterwards, one was an automatic shell and several shells and revolvers, which was suggested to the average reasonable man that there were two men. And if Oswald was supposed to have had an automatic in one hand and a revolver in the other. Furthermore, Oswald could not possibly have made it time-wise if you use the time standard but the main state witness. Furthermore, the test of the 38 for fingerprints indicated that there were no fingerprints on it at all. Now, that was excluded from the Warren Commission because of the scandalous implications of that. We obtained that from the Texas investigation. We got a copy of the Texas investigation, found in it that the 38 Smith & Wesson, which Oswald is supposed to have used to kill Tippit, and then running down the street, pulling the shells out, putting in new shells, then later at the Texas theater, he's wrestling with the officers and he tries to kill one, and it doesn't go off, and they're pulling him and they get the gun. It doesn't have one fingerprint on it. Isn't that unbelievable? Even the Warren Commission didn't have the stomach to introduce that. So anyway, we could go on and on, but considering, to begin with, the prosecution has the burden of proof, I submit as defense counsel in this instance that it's apparent in terms of probability that Oswald was not involved in the shooting at all.
Little boy right there.
Three questions, if I understand them. One, how many bullets were shot at President Kennedy, or how many was he hit with? Secondly, how many persons do I think shot at him? And third, were any bullets of the 6.5 caliber found in the President's body? It's a little hard to say anything about the autopsy, because Commander Humes, who performed the autopsy, burned his autopsy notes and was subsequently promoted. That's true. I know a deputy sheriff in Dallas, on the other hand, who told the truth and stuck to it, and he's not a deputy sheriff anymore. But Commander Humes burned his autopsy notes and he's been promoted, and as a result, there's no way to know just where the President was hit or what his autopsy notes really had in them. If we were able to look at the photographs, the autopsy photographs, we would know how many times he was hit and where. That's a very good question, and was the first question before the Warren Commission, and yet they did not have the stomach to look at the autopsy because they knew what they would see. So we don't know either, because Lyndon Johnson's administration is still keeping it secret. Now, as to how many are involved, the operating group at the scene, I would have to speculate, and I don't like to speculate there. We have names of some individuals who have participated, I think largely as a result of luck, but we have the names of some of them. Most of them did not pass through our jurisdiction, and we don't quite know what to do with the names right now. Can you imagine if we turn it over to the federal government? To get a promotion. One man that we've identified as being involved in the assassination works at a military base. A number of witnesses in the New Orleans area that have lied consistently and refused to tell the truth. The government has obtained jobs for them at Chrysler or Boeing. You'd be amazed how many people that work for the Roddy Coffee Company that now work for Chrysler or Boeing suddenly develops an interest in the defense effort. But there's no way to estimate how many are involved except to say a hell of a lot, because they obviously were using transistor radios for communication. They had at least one man transmitting as to the point where the presidential route was. They had to use at least four, possibly five routes, 5 points of shooting. And they obviously had to use scouts and individuals to stand to the side and keep an eye open. So I'd say at least 10 or 15. I'll tell you what may give you a rough guide. If I were to ask you all tonight if anybody had been arrested at Dealey Plaza for the assassination of John Kennedy, you'd probably say, certainly not. But the fact is that they arrested 10 men. 10. Try and get their names. You can't get their names because, obviously, a few things went wrong and the police stumbled across some of the men who were involved. Sometimes, some days, things just don't go right. This was the probable reason for the shooting of Officer Tippit, because if you study the radio logs, you see a continual reference to individuals running back in the railroad yards, another individual being seen by Cobb Stadium with a rifle, other individuals getting out of cars with rifles and so forth. Citizens are pointing these things out. Suddenly, Officer Tippit is killed. Immediately, there's no more interest in Dealey Plaza. All attention turns to Oak Cliff. When these men were turned loose, nobody asked a question or thought about it for several years. We're trying to get the names of some of them. We've located photographs of some of them, and we've made some identifications. But I can assure you there's no help from the Dallas Police Department, and even less from the federal government. But let me just conclude, because I know what I'm talking about, and you're going to have people say this is impossible. If I can leave you with one thought in your mind, please remember that the man who gained the most, and think this over tonight, the man who gained the most from the assassination is the man who is doing the most to conceal the facts, your president, Lyndon Johnson. Thank you.